Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
This week, we recognize Memorial Day. We recognize those who gave the ultimate sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And on this edition, we're going to talk about Memorial Day and the meaning of Memorial Day. I'm reading here from FDR's D-Day prayer that he prayed with the nation on the morning of June 6, 1944, as Allied forces were storming the beaches of Normandy. It's the way in which the president chose to announce to the nation that the liberation of Europe was underway. He stated, "For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom." Well, that's what we do on Memorial Day. We recognize those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Let me just give you the numbers. In World War II, the U.S. lost 405,399 souls in battle. In the Korean conflict, the Korean War, 36,516. In Vietnam, 58,209 names are on the wall in Washington. The Persian Gulf War, 258. Operation Enduring Freedom, Afghanistan, 2,356. And Operation Iraqi Freedom in Iraq, 4,489. This is the price of liberty. Well, we're going to take you now to that prayer of FDR as he prayed on the morning of June 6, 1944, in which the nation learned that Allies were storming the beaches of Normandy. Let's listen to the president.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength, too, strengthen our daily tasks, to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travel, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done.
Almighty God. Amen.
What you've just heard is FDR's D-Day landing prayer as he prayed with the nation on the morning of June 6, 1944, and announced to the nation that the liberation of Europe was underway. And of course, the battle was raging even as he prayed this prayer. Well, this prayer is going to be added to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. As many of you know, that S-1044, the legislative effort by the Ohio Christian Alliance, and Senator Portman and Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio did pass both the House and the U.S. Senate in the year 2014 and was signed by President Obama on June of that year, on June 30th. Now we have to raise the funds as we are working with the U.S. Park Service and the Friends of the World War II Memorial for its final design, and then construction can begin in its dedication. We'd like to get it done by next June 6th of 2019. That will be the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings while there's still World War II veterans with us. You can help us by making a contribution, small or large. If you would, please visit us at our website at ohioca.org. In fact, right up at the top, you will see a link. First of all, the video. I'd like you to listen to this prayer again and listen to the video, but also a contribution. And you can indicate D-Day prayer. You just follow the links. You could use your credit card, your PayPal, but you can make a contribution. Any amount will help us, as we'll be presenting a check to the Friends of the World War II Memorial on location of where this prayer is going to be placed. In fact, I was just there on the National Day of Prayer. As many of you know, I had the opportunity and privilege of being at the White House at the Rose Garden with President Trump and other dignitaries for this year's National Day of Prayer. We covered that on a previous program. But then afterwards, we went over to the World War II Memorial itself. We prayer walked around what's called the Circle Remembrance, part of the World War II Memorial, and that's what's going to receive a major upgrade. The placement of this prayer is going to be a big deal. They're planning on $2 million of renovation and a large placement. All 515 words of the President's prayer will be added. And why is that significant? Because currently there is no prayer, scripture verse, or reference to God anywhere on the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., and that's unique in Washington because if you go to the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Library of Congress, the U.S. Capitol itself, the list is endless. They all have prayers, scripture verses, or reference to God on them, not the World War II Memorial. Well, we're going to rectify that, and we have legislatively. We got it through Congress. Now we need your help to help raise the monies. And so we're going to be presenting a check from Ohio to the Friends in just a few weeks as the anniversary of the D-Day landings are observed once again in Washington. We'll be on site at the World War II Memorial, and we're going to present a large check. You'll be seeing this in the media. With me on the phone is OCA board member, Pastor Al Davis. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Well, welcome, Chris. Good to be with you today.
Well, thank you, sir. And I know that you're on the road. You've been traveling today, but, you know, we're heading into the Memorial Day weekend. I know it means so much to you as well. Your thoughts?
Oh, yes, absolutely, Chris. And we think about it. We just had last weekend was Armed Forces Day. And then, of course, most people familiar, in November, November 11th, we have Veterans Day. But this is a special day. Memorial Day, the last Monday here in the month. And this is a day set aside to remember those who have given not just their time, but actually their lives in service to our country. These are the folks that we owe our freedom to.
Well, that's exactly right. And I know that we think of the veterans also on Memorial Day, those who served in the armed forces. My son was a veteran. My father was a veteran. Several of my uncles served in Korea and World War II. Have some cousins who served in Vietnam. I know your father served World War II just after the surrender by the Japanese, and I know that he's passed on, as my father has as well, and those are our favorite veterans. But, you know, this is a time that we really do think about those Gold Star families, and there was an observance at the Ohio State House again this year where Governor Kasich acknowledged that. There was some Gold Star families with him, and of course, a observance of those Ohioans who have given the ultimate sacrifice. But one of the ways that we can honor them, Pastor, is by adding this wonderful D-Day prayer. You know, when I did a little prayer walk of the Circle Remembrance, and then I walked across the street, and, you know, I was thinking about my dad. He had actually come to the World War II Memorial with me. He passed away 4 years ago now. And time goes so quickly, and he was a big supporter of this, as many World War II veterans are. In fact, our early petitions are now actually memoriams in themselves, because a lot of these World War II veterans signed that petition to add this prayer. And as I'm walking across the street, I see this group of school children sitting down, and I see a teacher reading something. And as I come closer, she's reading the D-Day prayer. So I listened. I actually got my video out, and I'm taking a little video of her reading the prayer. We're going to put it up on our website. And then I asked her afterwards, I said, "Ma'am, what possessed you to read that prayer today?" She said, "Well, today is the National Day of Prayer, and we're about to head over to the World War II Memorial." And you could just imagine, I was all choked up and really excited, because that's what we want to see. Once we place this prayer there, we want these groups of thousands of kids that will come and actually read this prayer aloud with their teachers and learn about the sacrifice. And folks, if you just heard that prayer by FDR, you know then how it was very descriptive. And the president himself handwrote that prayer. He had the burden of the war upon him. It wasn't just for the D-Day landings, but all those serving on battlefields around the world in World War II. And it's really a timeless prayer for all of our veterans. Pastor Al.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And when you think of the sacrifice, it's hard. So few of our population today really have been veterans. And, you know, when we think about it, I can recall I was actually in the United States Air Force stationed in England and had an opportunity to march with a group in London in honor of some of the people from Belgium, of all places, that had served in World War II in the underground. And you see these men, and they remind you of those from our own country, like you said, your father, my uncle, others, that many of our listeners have family members who served in World War II. And we think of the sacrifice where they were willing to leave family and friends and home behind, go to a place. Some of them never had left the place they grew up and yet went half the world away for the cause of freedom. Mm. And that, we think about that. It's so exciting. And yet, you know, there are some young men like you mentioned, your son, young men and women today, who are willing to lift up that baton and even if called upon, make the same sacrifice as many of them have. And that's what keeps us free.
Well, that's exactly right. And I want to report, because we are a news program, there was breaking news today. And the NFL has changed course, and it has a new policy that requires all players on the field and personnel to stand for the national anthem. I think the timing is important that they rolled out this announcement on the eve of the Memorial Day weekend. And they're saying now it is required. It's no longer a debate. It's not a protest. The men and women who serve us in uniform deserve better. There's another place if you want to dissent. We believe in dissent. We believe in petition. We believe in freedom of speech without question. But really, when that flag is furled and we hear the national anthem, it, you know, all rise. You know, and because of those men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, it's not debatable. There's a time and a season for everything, ladies and gentlemen. And though we don't want to dictate certain things, it is a moment of respect. Because we have freedom in this country, you have to worry about where you assemble for worship and stormtroopers coming in and being arrested in the middle of the night. You don't have to worry about speaking your mind and somebody, you know, arresting you and putting you in jail because you have a dissenting opinion. It's because of that flag. It's because of that anthem. It's because of the willingness of your fellow Americans to serve us in the U.S. military to keep us safe from enemies, foreign and domestic. That's why we have these freedoms. That's why we pay attention. And that's why I'm glad the NFL changed course. And you know what? I guess we can claim victory right now, Pastor Al, because there was a boycott and the NFL heard the message. They changed course. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. That's because Americans around across the country, they they let it be known. They voted with their feet. They voted with their hard-earned money, and they voted with their time. They chose not to watch the games. They chose not to spend money on the games, and the NFL saw that. And when people think they can't make a difference, you know, we have a song that we sing sometimes in our church, and we haven't done it in a while, but it's called Little as Much When God Is In It. You know, that reminds me of the state motto, all things are possible with God, or with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And when a few people get together and God's with us, you know, we can do some pretty great things, can't we?
We sure can. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. With me on the phone is board member Pastor Al Davis. And what we want to do is ask you really to take in an observance of this Memorial Day weekend. If you've never done that, take the family, look in the paper. They're listed there. Various communities have them at cemeteries where there's military personnel involved. And it really is only about a half an hour service, maybe 45 or an hour at the most. And it's a way to really pay respect for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And so let's take time to think about them. And if you really want to participate, because this prayer means so much of being added to the World War II Memorial for these veterans, we ask that you make a donation of any size will help us get there. It's not going to be paid for by tax dollars, but it's going to be paid for by contributions from people like you and me to add this wonderful presidential prayer as a permanent addition to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's the D-Day Prayer Project, a project of the Ohio Christian Alliance, which we launched back in 2011. Now it's 7 years later, and we're going to get it done. You know, those veterans said to me, Al, they looked at me and said, young man, get it done, when I told them what we were doing. And there's two things I like about that. One, being called a young man. Secondly, is being commissioned by the greatest generation. And so there's times I lay awake nights thinking, Lord, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be able to raise this money? And I just encouraged Holly Rotondi, who is the executive director of the Friends of World War II Memorial. We're partnering with them. So we're going to do a national campaign, and it starts with this check we're going to present to them and do a media event, and then we're going to launch it on radio. And you know what? The good news, and I'm very excited about this. I talked to Richard Bott of his radio network, and we're making some other connections, and people are going to get behind the effort, and we're going to get there. But I want there to be a buy-in. You know, there's going to be those who get contribute a dollar or $10 or $100 or $1,000, but we're going to get there, and I want people to have a buy-in because I want them to say, hey, you know, I gave you that. I'm going to go to Washington and read that prayer, and we hope to dedicate it in the next year or two. If the funds come in and we get the final go-ahead to get it done, you can help us get there. Again, go to our website. Just Google Ohio Christian Alliance or go to ohioca.org. Or if you want to phone us, 330-887-1922. Visit our website for more information. Pastor Al, God bless you. Thanks for joining me today. And folks, just pay attention and really give observance on this Memorial Day and think about those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Let's pray for them and their families. God bless you all. Have a good weekend.
Looking out for seniors today. It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this edition of News in Focus, and we're excited about today's program because we have an author that has written a number of best-selling books throughout the years. He helped to write Unfit for Command, Obama Nation, Atomic Iran, and he's written a new book called Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. With me on the phone is Dr. Jerome Corsi, the author of this breaking best-selling book, Killing the Deep State, and we're going to get right into it. Thanks, Jerry, for joining us today.
Chris, it's great to be back with you. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, your book is so timely because that is exactly what's happening currently in Washington. President Trump is having to deal on every hand with the deep state. Wherever he turns, where he makes an appointment, whether he's dealing with Capitol Hill or the bureaucracy of the various cabinet positions, where he is trying to get his appointments to these positions, he has run into opposition time and time again, now into the 16 months of his administration. And, of course, he is making some headway. He is absolutely changing the culture in Washington, but it's not going easy. And again, the bureaucracy is so vast and so widespread, it is a deep state for sure, from the Justice Department, from the Pentagon, from the security services. And again, what we're finding out because of investigative research by members in the United States Congress, Republicans on these committees have been able to discover what exactly the collusion was. It wasn't Russian collusion. It was collusion within our own Justice Department and the FBI to try to upend and to obstruct the Trump administration from the opening days. Your thoughts?
Well, exactly right, Chris. This is what I wrote in Killing the Deep State. I think I wrote the book to really show you what I think is the shocking evidence that a coup d'etat was actually started in the FBI. And there was, you know, we have now these memos from these two agents, Peter Strozek, who headed the counterintelligence division. He was a pretty senior position. And a lawyer, Lisa Page, and they're exchanging these memos how they hate Donald Trump. And what they come up with is they have to have an insurance policy that if Donald Trump does win, they have a way to impeach him or remove him from office. And I think the crux of the coup d'etat is the decision to advance this Russian collusion argument, which the FBI knew at the time was a lie. That, you know, even if Russia was involved in trying to interfere with our election, and I guess Russia does that from time to time, if not all the time, we interfere in other countries' elections. There was no collusion. That's the key point between Donald Trump and Russia, encouraging Russia or rewarding Russia or somehow or other having some benefit from Russia. It just didn't happen. And by the way, collusion is not a crime. So Mueller was set out to prove something that isn't a crime that was invented as a lie within the FBI to advance this coup d'etat.
Well, as you mentioned, Lisa Page, of course, she just resigned last week. In fact, the major media did not spend much time on that, but she definitely is a cooperative or an operative within the Justice Department with Peter Strzok and what they were attempting to do in their exchange of emails. And this is the corruption at the highest level of the FBI with James Comey and the others who have basically sought to disrupt the Trump administration in the opening days, actually in collusion with the Obama administration, the former Justice Attorney General, and Loretta Lynch. And these are the kinds of things that make people really just yell at the TV set, because we hear the reports when we're watching Sean Hannity, we're watching some of the others who are basically telling us the truth and revealing what is actually going on. And as Congressman Nunes and his committee and others, and Jim Jordan, our Ohio's own congressman, has been shining a light on this, yet the major media of CNN, ABC, CBS, they're complicit in this narrative to try to get Trump out of office at any cost. That's what they're about.
Well, I think it's got to, you know, like I point out, killing deep state frustrates the average person who believes in equal justice under the law. But at the same time, this group within the Department of Justice, the FBI, was planning to, you know, get Donald Trump out of office by impeaching him on the lie that he had colluded with Russia. It wasn't even the Russians. Julian Assange insisted it was not the Russians who got him the stolen emails from the Democratic National Convention or committee, rather, in Podesta, the Hillary and Podesta emails. Those came from an independent source. I think they probably came from Seth Rich, an internal employee of the DNC who was disillusioned over Hillary and Debbie Wasserman Schultz conspiring to deny the primary victories to Bernie Sanders. And, you know, when the American people see that James Comey, no matter what Hillary did, it was excused, and this going after President Trump now for a year, we're going on to the second year with Robert Mueller, and we don't have any evidence yet there was any Russian collusion. I think this is completely a Democratic story invented both to excuse Hillary from losing, you know, which he basically lost a rigged election, if you think about it. But the point is that the American people did reject Hillary, and I think the American people want justice where the real collusion, the real tampering with the election occurred within the Department of Justice and extended into the CIA and into the Obama White House.
Well, that's exactly right. And Andrew McCabe obviously had lied to the FBI. I mean, if John Smith, the citizen, lies to the FBI, they go to jail for that. This man has been proven to have lied to the FBI on three different occasions in relations to these issues. And, of course, we look at some of the notable people, Martha Stewart, who went to jail for lying to the FBI. You know, when everyday citizens look at this, Jerry, they're frustrated because, like you said, there's like two levels of law, one in which we all have to abide by, and then, well, there's something a little different then for those in Washington and the Justice Department and other higher levels of government, those who live in a, they see themselves living in a different plane. That cannot be tolerated within this country. All are equal under the law, and these people must be account to bring into account for their crimes. And that is Andrew McCabe. That's Lisa Page. That's Peter Strzok. And yet these people are embedded within these bureaucracies that the president can't fire them. Congress can't fire them. Congress can only do research and bring findings. Can you give us an update of what's happening with the Inspector General's report? It seems to be, you know, Congress has to pressure and even threaten with impeachment that they can do with some officials, higher officials at the Justice Department. They could enact impeachment of some of these people. That's the only time which they've gotten reports back to Capitol Hill. Your thoughts on the Inspector General's report?
Well, I think, you know, Chris, this is an important point, that the Inspector General is independent. He does not have to report to anyone at any particular time. You know, there's an expectation he's going to report soon, But I think what, you know, President Trump needs to do is to apply pressure to get at least some, the relevant parts of that report released. You know, maybe it's not 100% complete, and there maybe need to be some adjustments or revisions, but I think a lot of it's got to be done. We've already seen part of the Inspector General's report. That's how we know about Strozek and Page and their messages to one another. I don't see why we can't have more of it released. And the American people deserve to know the truth. We deserve to need it now. I'm equally frustrated with Jeff Sessions, who I think President Trump is getting to the point. I'm encouraging President Trump to fire Mueller, to fire Rosenstein, and to fire Sessions. Because I think all three are now in the process of obstructing justice.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Jeff Sessions, obviously, he recused himself upon arriving at the Justice Department in relation to the Russian collusion. You know, I've known Jeff Sessions to be an honorable man from the times and a conservative when he has served in Congress. But I do think that his judgment has been clouded since he's gotten to the Justice Department. And quite honestly, Jerry is probably surrounded by entities that he's wondering who he can trust, even in his own department. So he hasn't had the free hand to actually exchange out leadership at the Justice Department, at the FBI. And so he has handcuffed himself from executing his office. I'm not so sure it's obstruction for obstruction's sake with Jeff. I just think he finds himself almost in a very impossible situation because of his recusal at the beginning. Is there any way forward for him to actually, and we've seen some of which he did fire Andrew McCabe, do we see a way forward where Jeff Sessions may become proactive again, or do you see it as a lost cause at this point?
Well, I'm less forgiving than you are, and I've known Jeff Sessions a long time, too, and have respected him, and I'm deeply disappointed in what he's doing in the Justice Department right now. It may be because McCabe had him under criminal investigation for his confirmation hearings and the discussion of what he said about his dealings with Russia, which were minimal. I think I believe that one of the people that Carter Page, I think a paid FBI informant, set up to be electronically under surveillance was Jeff Sessions. By talking to Sessions about Russia, that made Sessions collateral interest, and he would have been under electronic surveillance as a collateral person of interest. And that might have scared Sessions. But, you know, I'm a political scientist and behavioralist, and I can't read people's minds. I can just know what they do.
Right.
And, Jeff Sessions, if he's surrounded by people that are not doing the job he needs to fire them. And his job is to bring criminals to justice on an equal basis. And I've just seen Sessions pass on too many opportunities where it looked like there was wrongdoing from a Democrat or deep stater, and Sessions did not pursue it. I think whatever the reasons, Sessions is not doing the job. Rosenstein is, I think, actively working behind the scenes to obstruct even Congress learning from the documents Congress has requested, you know, that we now know from the little bit Nunes has seen, Devin Nunes, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, that there was a mole, that basically the Department of Justice under Obama put into Donald Trump's campaign. That's a spy. They could have been there to entrap them, to talk about Russia when otherwise there would have been no discussion about Russia. That's unacceptable. And Jeff Sessions is doing nothing to bring these papers forward. I'd fire Jeff Sessions without giving it second thought. He's been a disappointment, and if he needs to retire, that's fine. He had a prior career that I thought was illustrative, as you know, I always liked his positions in Congress as a conservative, but I don't see that he's going to be able to continue here and do the job of the Department of Justice. I think he's already been compromised.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue.
We're talking with Jerry Corsi. He is the author of the best-selling book, Killing the Deep State, How to Save or Fight for the Trump Presidency. Jerry, as we move on here, obviously the Inspector General's report is coming out in bits and pieces. Congress, the clock is ticking because we're heading into a midterm election. It is yet unknown whether the Republicans will retain control of Congress. And with that, of course, these investigations will come to a screeching halt. So we don't have much time left here. I do think that there are those who are of the opinion in Congress, Trey Gowdy, Jim Jordan, and others, and Devin Nunes, that they need to get to the bottom of this as soon as possible. Now, the Trump administration is pressuring Mueller at this point after the calendar year is coming up on a full year in which he's done investigation, and he's found nothing substantive in relation to his original investigative work. So, it really just needs to wrap up. And, as Vice President Pence has said, this is a distraction to the chief executive office. This isn't, this isn't an elected office, this special counsel. It's an extra governmental, authority that actually is obstructing the constitutional office of the executive branch. And if they've found nothing, and he hasn't, it's time to wrap it up. Your thoughts?
Well, again, Chris, I wrote Killing the Deep State to support President Trump. I think President Trump can and will launch a counterattack. And I think the first part of that, I kind of had like a three-phase strategy. First, President Trump needs to fire Mueller and then launch this counterattack. And I think third, even if it requires military tribunals, even if it takes his whole first term in office, President Trump ought to bring Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to justice for treason, which is what I think they committed. Now, I'm very encouraged to see Rudy Giuliani, and hopefully he'll be a strong force to communicate to Mueller that 1 year is enough. And I also think that at least one of these cases, this Russian troll case where we have a district judge that was appointed by Donald Trump, who's made it clear that, in that case, Mueller indicted a Russian company that didn't even exist. It's like indicting a ham sandwich. I mean, the mistakes and the incompetence, together with the, I think, prosecutorial misconduct, like in the Flynn case, where Mueller did not let the defense know that Strozek and McCabe had changed General Flynn's interrogation report, I suspect, to make it look like he lied. Because Comey came out of the General Flynn interrogation and said Comey told Congress that he did not think General Flynn lied. One or more of these cases that Mueller has brought forward, I think, should be dismissed by the district judges hearing the cases. And if that happens, I think Trump will have the basis to fire Mueller as having engaged in prosecutorial misconduct.
All of this is what's at stake, is our constitutional process, in that we elect Congress, we elect the Senate, we elect our president. The three portions of government, the executive, the congressional, and the judiciary. And yet there is this deep state, there is this shadow government that persists through every administration. Eisenhower referred to it, even back to Calvin Coolidge, a very good man, which some would argue that Donald Trump is the recreation of Calvin Coolidge. He is doing so much that Calvin Coolidge did in actually getting rid of some of the over-bureaucracy in Washington. He's not what we thought on the front end. We saw basically a celebrity, a real estate tycoon, but Donald Trump has been everything that he promised, and he's delivering. And, of course, this is frustrating those who are embedded within government that no matter who's elected, they seem to persist. Jerry, so the deep state here, the shadow government in Washington, because of the bureaucracies, how do we actually drain the swamp?
Well, that's a good question, Chris. And I think what we have to do, we have to start with the Department of Justice and the FBI, because these are the agencies that are, we look to for equal justice under law. And if under Obama they were politicized, so the Democrats get a pass, the deep state gets a pass, I don't think that's acceptable to the average American. And we've also got to get the CIA. I mean, I've been writing for years. The CIA stays in the drug business. It has been since Vietnam, you know, with Air America running drugs, Iran-Contra. We have so many indications that the CIA has never left the drug business. I want to see it cleaned out. But I think, in general, our bureaucracy has become bloated. We ought to reduce it by at least 50%, maybe 90%, to get it back within the limited aims that our Constitution had. I mean, basically, we had a Department of War and a Treasury when the Constitution was formed. And why we have all these different bureaucracies making their rules on their own as if they were independent lawmakers, I think it's gotten to be unacceptable. And then when a president comes in like Donald Trump with an American First agenda, these people who are basically globalists in the deep state, you know, believe in the New World Order, like Hillary, no boundaries, they just don't listen. They decide they're going to resist and obstruct Donald Trump, even though they're earning salaries as government employees who are supposedly pledged to enforce the president's policies. They have their own version of what the laws say, what they are supposed to do. This is the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower has warned about has grown in leaps and bounds, and now is in many different policy areas. And Donald Trump's the only one I know of who can take the challenge. It may take two terms, but I think Donald Trump understands the problem and is working towards solutions. He just needs to get past, get rid of Robert Mueller, who's found nothing, and get some clear sailing, and I think Donald Trump will be able to accomplish even more great things that he's already accomplished.
We're talking with Dr. Jerome Corsi, who is the author of the best-selling book, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save the Trump Presidency. Jerry, we have a few minutes left in today's program, and this has been fascinating, and we've just scratched the surface of the book, and we encourage people to buy it. It's on Amazon and also at bookstores nationwide, the best-selling book, Killing the Deep State. So as we go forward here into the summer months, this is going to be critical for Congress and the administration. Obviously, he's having great successes on the international scene with the move of the embassy to Jerusalem. What he's doing, the unmasking really of Iran and the sham that was of the deal that the Obamas did and the cash payments to the Tehranian government. What do you see in the next chapter on unveiling in front of us?
Well, I think we will get Donald Trump to get rid of Mueller and begin the counterattack where these deep state, I think, traitorous criminals can be brought to justice. And secondly, I think the advances of the foreign policy are going to continue. Both Iran and North Korea, I think, will lay down nuclear weapons. I hope no war is required. And so far, it doesn't look like there'll be a war with North Korea. I'm continuing to be confident North Korea will come to terms with Donald Trump. And then I think the economy is doing, remarkably well. The unemployment, is even among African-Americans, is way down, which I'm very pleased to see.
Yes.
And you know, I think then the next step is Donald Trump needs to get a hold of this debt situation. And I'm going to be urging Donald Trump to get rid of the Federal Reserve. We don't need the Federal Reserve to print our money. Under John Kennedy, we printed money under the Treasury Department. Abraham Lincoln also did the same. We can do it again. And we don't need to be paying interest for our money, which is what the case is today. And I want to get rid of the income tax. These are both innovations that were put in 1913 under Woodrow Wilson and his, you know, New World Order globalism visions. And I think we need to get back to really taking the America First agenda all the way through to reforming our monetary system.
We're talking with Dr. Jerry Corsi. And Jerry, I really think that you're in your element with this book, again, Killing the Deep State, the Fight to Save the Trump Presidency, because you've been in Washington as an investigative reporter for so long. You've seen a lot of this firsthand. You've experienced the frustration. You have tried to sound the alarm over the decades. And I think you've really hit the note at the right time with this book. And again, the book can be purchased on Amazon.com. Give us a few more details about the book, Jerry, in our closing.
Well, Corsi, C-O-R-S-I, it's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com and in bookstores. And Chris, thank you once again for the opportunity to be with you.
Absolutely, Jerry. Our pleasure. God bless you, my friend, and thank you
God
for a great project. Congratulations.
God
and thank you
too.
For stopping in today as well. You want to stick around for the next part as we'll be talking with Pastor Tim Throckmorton about a prayer gathering that will be coming up at the Ohio State House in early June. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.